Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Hey there, faithful listeners. I hope you're having a fantastic Monday so far, and thanks for starting out your week nice and strong by reading some Bible with me. And let me know how you all have been. And here is the question for today is, do you prefer the country or the city? In fact, speaking of the country, you're going to hear some interesting sounds today because I think you'll be able to hear it. The wind is crazy outside right now. It is very windy where I'm at today. So you might be able to hear the wind like blowing against my house, because out here I don't have a lot to block. Well, we do have a lot of trees, but I don't have a lot to block the wind from hitting my house as compared to, I imagine, a city that has a whole bunch of buildings to block the wind. Fun fact, I haven't actually been to too many cities. Typically, when my husband and I go somewhere, we find ourselves kind of staying at the outskirts of the city and doing fun things in the outskirts of cities. And both my husband and I don't really prefer either going to cities or driving in cities. So we stay pretty much out in the middle of nowhere whenever we go somewhere fun. But let me know what you guys think, mainly because I just want to hear from all of you. You'll find my contact information listed in the description of this episode. Today we're going to be talking about 1 Samuel chapter 25, 36 through 44, and we're going to learn about a problem that David has. And I already alluded to this on Friday, if you listen to Friday's episode. And we're also going to learn about what happens to Nabal. Remember that foolish guy that Abigail had to save from David? We're going to see what happens to Nabal today as well. So it's going to be a great conversation. Let's read 1 Samuel 25, 36 through 44. And as always, I'll be reading out of WEB. Grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea and join along with me. Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. About 10 days later, Yahweh struck Nabal, so that he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed is Yahweh, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from evil. Yahweh has returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head." David sent and spoke concerning Abigail to take her to himself as wife. When David's servants had come to Abigail to Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David has sent us to you to take you to him as a wife." She arose and bowed herself with her face to the earth and said, "Behold, your servant is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord." Abigail hurried and arose and rode on a donkey with 5 ladies of hers who followed her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both became his wives. Now Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was of Galim. Okay, we're seeing a new side of David that we haven't actually seen yet, especially if we didn't read ahead in the story. Of course, many of us know the story of David and his fascination with beautiful women. And it turns out we see this now starting to come out right here. So going back a little bit in the story, we know that David encountered this really terrible guy named Nabal. And Nabal really lived up to his name because it meant foolish. And so, yeah, Nabal was a foolish guy. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm not pronouncing Nabal correctly. I know I'm not. I remember hearing it pronounced correctly when I did a Bible study years ago on Nabal and Abigail. I know I'm not pronouncing it right, so sorry about that. But it looks like Nabal to me, so that's what I'm going to say. Anyway, Nabal means foolishness. He lived up to his name. And what happened was David protected Nabal, actually. All of Nabal's assets, his sheep, his farmers, or rather his shearers, David was protecting them from the Philistines. And so David, on a day of feasting, went to Nabal and asked for a handout because he's like, look, I helped protect you. I helped all of your men for all of these months out of the goodness of my heart. So whatever you can give, give. And Nabal was like, no, I'm not giving to you. I don't know who you are. In fact, you are nothing but a servant who has run away from his master. Basically saying, what's the world coming to? Who do you think you are? You're nothing but a servant that has run away from his master. And David, of course, gets very insulted when he hears the news. Because when the messengers come back to tell David everything Nabal said, David was extremely insulted. And so he's like, boys, strap on your swords. We are going to war against all of Nabal's household. He will die today, as well as all of the people, as well as all of the men of his household. They're going to die. So Abigail, who happened to be Nabal's wife, and she was very beautiful and very intelligent also, she hears what happened. She acts extremely fast. So she puts all of these gifts on a donkey and she goes out to meet David. And then she convinces David, long story short, to not take vengeance out on Nabal's household. And so David listens. He sees this beautiful woman in front of him pleading for her husband. And so he says, sure, you know what? You are right. I am not going to take out vengeance because taking out vengeance is wrong. I'm not going to do it. So David heads home, or rather back to his fortress with all of the gifts that he got from Abigail, and Abigail goes home. So that's where we get to today. It says in verse 36 that Abigail came to Nabal, her husband, and he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And what's so bizarre about that is Nabal was so foolish that he didn't see how his entire household almost died because of him. Everyone else could see it. Abigail could see it. All of Nabal's servants could see it. In fact, one of the servants, a young servant boy, went to Abigail to tell her what had happened, because even the servant boy was like, I can't talk to Nabal about this. He is so foolish that he won't even listen to me. And he has no clue what he has just done to his household. Like, he has destroyed us all. Everyone else could see it. Nabal was the only one who could not see it. Instead, he's holding this huge feast, like the feast of a king. So we know that Nabal was extremely rich. We also know that this was a feast day that all of this took place, because during the time of shearing the sheep, apparently, this was a cause of great celebration. And so a feast would happen. And it was usually a time of thanksgiving, celebration, giving to people in need. And that's why David actually went to Nabal on a feast day. It was because he's like, look, it's the day of giving to others. So I am asking for some resources for my men who have helped you out. It says that Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So not only did Nabal slap David and God in the face by not freely giving of the things that God gave him, now he is being a drunkard and living this like debaucherous lifestyle and partying it up. And it turned out that he was so drunk that Abigail couldn't even speak to him, so she had to wait around. So the next morning, she gets up, and it says, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Some people think that Nabal had a heart attack in this passage. Some people think he had a stroke after hearing it. Some people think that he was so shocked at the news that David had almost killed him that very night, that he just became sick from hearing the news. So we don't exactly know what went on, but something happened where Nabal either became extremely disheartened or he got sick. Like, he had a heart attack or a stroke or something along those lines. And 10 days later, Nabal dies. And this reminds me of a parable from Luke chapter 12. This is Jesus speaking, I think, to the multitudes. Yes, the multitudes. In verse 15, Jesus said to them, beware, keep yourselves from covetousness, for a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. He spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man produced abundantly. He reasoned within himself, saying, what will I do, because I don't have room to store my crops? He said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. I will tell my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you foolish one, tonight your soul is required of you. The things which you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And I feel like that entire parable is almost talking about Nabal, because Nabal means fool, right? And God actually calls the person in this parable a foolish one. And this is exactly what Nabal did. Nabal was very rich and he trusted in those riches. He didn't give freely of those riches to other people. Instead, he hoarded them and was eating, drinking, being merry, having a feast for himself. And then that very night, because of his foolish lifestyle, God said, today your soul is required of you. And the things which you have prepared, whose will they be? And so that entire parable is a warning against covetousness. It is a warning against storing up your treasures here on earth instead of in heaven with God. God calls us to not only give freely and cheerfully, but he also calls us to store up our treasures in heaven. And what that means is to not worry so much about the here and now and what life looks like now, but to worry later on about eternity. Because eternity is really what matters. It's not our life here and now. It's not what we can get here and now. It is eternity. And Nabal, he obviously was not storing up his treasures in heaven. He was not thinking about eternity. He was not a righteous man at all. He did not live in a moral way. And so this very day, basically, God required his life. And 10 days later, Nabal officially died. It says Yahweh struck Nabal so that he died. And I kind of wonder, you know, God is so merciful that I do wonder if God gave Nabal 10 days to repent. Because we often see God giving people chance after chance to repent before he carries out his judgment on them. And so maybe God was using these 10 days to see if Nabal would officially repent. And it does not seem like he did. We don't know specifically. It does not say if Nabal repented or not. But it kind of seems here that God enacted judgment on Nabal and he died. So now David hears that Nabal is dead. And he writes this little poem to Yahweh. He says, blessed is Yahweh who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from evil. Yahweh has returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head. So I don't really think that David was rejoicing that Nabal had died, inasmuch as he was rejoicing over the justice of God, and also that David himself did not do something very evil by going and taking vengeance out against Nabal and Nabal's household. So that's what I think about this poem is David is just praising God for God's justice and that God pleaded David's case and David didn't have to do that, clearly. Now it says here that David sent and spoke concerning Abigail to take her to himself as wife. So he sends some messengers to go ask Abigail if she would become his wife. And I actually thought that the Bible had stated that Abigail had gone through a mourning period before David asked her to be his wife. But now I'm not seeing that anywhere, and I don't know where I got that. And so if you guys know where I got that from, I'd like to hear it. Maybe I'm missing a verse somewhere in scripture that I'm not remembering. But it kind of seems like here that Nabal is like barely in the ground before David asks Abigail to be his wife. Now, here's the thing. David was already married. Okay, so he was married to Michal, right? He was married to Michal, who was Saul's daughter and also Jonathan's sister. And we don't know how long David was out in the wilderness at this point in time. It could have been years. But why did he not ever try to see his wife, Michael? And you might be like, well, Jen, you don't know how difficult it was. Maybe, you know, he was traveling from place to place to place. And how could Michael have found him? And how could he have seen her? And his life was really in danger. And I get it. I get it. But also, Jonathan was able to find David. And Jonathan was David's best friend and also Michael's brother. And so why could David not have asked Jonathan, like, hey, is there any possibility that I could see my wife? I don't understand the thought process with that one. And maybe Michael didn't want to come out and see David. That could be a possibility. Maybe she didn't want to sleep and live in a cave. Maybe she just did not want that lifestyle. We don't know. It is possible that Michael just refused to come out to visit David. But either way, David was married and he should not have asked Abigail to be his wife. But you might be like, well, Jen, it actually says that Saul gave Michael to another man. But we don't know when that happened. We do not know if Michael was given to another man before or after David asked Abigail to be his wife. We don't know that. And secondly, as we're going to find out, David still considered Michael his wife when he came back into Israel. And I'll get into that much later. But David still considered Michael his wife very clearly because he was super angry when he found out that Michael was married to somebody else. And he took her back. So clearly David knew and believed that he was married. So why is he going out and asking another girl to be his wife? Well, firstly, this was a cultural norm. It was not in scripture. In fact, I believe that scripture was very clear for the one man, one woman model. And I'll never, ever believe that anywhere in scripture it says that a man or a woman can have multiple wives or husbands at the same time. It does not say that because God intended marriage for one man and one woman. That is very clearly laid out in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. But David never followed God's laws for marriage. And we've already seen this actually with his first wife, Michael. In fact, right after he was married, he broke an Old Testament law about marriage. And there was a law that specifically said that a newly married man should not go out to battle. He should stay with his wife for a solid year before he goes out to battle or any other official business. God put that law in place to protect young wives so that their husbands didn't just go out and die like 3 weeks after they got married. And yet David didn't even follow that very simple law after he married Michael. He was immediately out to battle with the Philistines. I'm interjecting my own opinion in there a little bit, but it's pretty clear that David did not wait the full year after marrying Michael. So yeah, we see David disobeying the marriage law even from the very beginning. Not only that, wives were considered political advantages a lot of times, as we will also discuss in David's life. It could be that he was thinking about marrying Abigail for the political advantage because she was a widow. She was a woman married to a very rich man, and that might have made David look kind of good. And he marries two women. So he marries Abigail and he marries also this woman named Ahinoam. They both became his wives is what it says in verse 43. Now, regarding Abigail, you might be like, why did she agree to become David's wife so soon after her husband died? And also knowing that David potentially was married to another woman. Well, like I said, back in these days, it was the cultural norm. And so Abigail would have had absolutely nothing after Nabal had died. She would have been pretty much homeless. And so she jumped on the opportunity to marry David. It kind of seems like she wanted to. It does not seem like she was fighting this at any point. Once again, the design for marriage is one man and one woman. And do I think that God would have blessed Abigail had she said, no, David, you are married. I am not going to marry you. Well, I think that God would have taken care of her. Yeah, absolutely. Because if she was trying to do something according to God's will, I think God would have taken care of her. Now, of course, God did take care of Abigail because Abigail is now marrying David and she is going to have a husband and have her needs provided for, basically. So Abigail was protected. But we do know later on that David was not the best husband. He was not really around. Abigail's barely mentioned after this story. She just kind of becomes part of the harem as David meets and marries new women. Being married myself, I do not think that that is a very fulfilling life. What we do know based upon scripture is that David was married. Scripture says that marriage is between one man and one woman. And both David and Abigail here, and also this other woman named Ahinoam, who David married, were not following God's design for marriage. And even though God is extremely merciful, actions do have consequences. Guys, I hope this episode interested you and that you found joy in listening to it. And if you did, share it on your social media platforms and tell people that the Bible Explained podcast exists. And also just write a review, because reviews are excellent ways to spread the gospel, because the more reviews that the podcast has, the more people that are able to find it. But also check out all the other links listed in the description of this episode, and also especially check out the YouTube channel, because I am going to start putting some video podcast episodes up on YouTube. In fact, I already did last Monday, and I have another one scheduled for this week. Faithful listeners, I will see you all tomorrow for another episode from Romans chapter 1. Until then, happy listening, and God bless.